It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
And because he high jumped 7'2.5", and he's nice, the introduction to the professor, John Anderson. Take it away.
What am I talking about? Is this the Wilde segment?
It is.
That's fantastic. That's really the only reason I get out of bed on Tuesdays, is so I can hear Jason Wilde talk. How much money did Golden get? Jason, how much money did he get? What's a first round guy get these days?
$17 million plus and all guaranteed. So not like the crazy days of who was the quarterback that went to the Rams?
Sam Bradford
getting like $60 million and he hasn't played a snap. They definitely got that under control with the 2011 CBA, but I'm a big believer in this, at least these guys now, at least the first-round picks get fully guaranteed contracts. Some of them get second-round picks get them too. I'm a big fan of that because, obviously, unlike the other leagues, those guys do not generally get guaranteed money like baseball and basketball, et cetera. So I'm on board with that, although he is the highest paid wide receiver on the roster now, which may or may not matter, I guess, but it is worth noting.
Do you have a favorite holdout from your time with the Packers? What was it, an acrimonious one or anything that sticks out?
Two of them. Javon Walker, which I will not, obviously I have not watched it yet on Netflix, but Brett Favre's had a few things that you could characterize as missteps. I always thought that was one of them. Like, he sided with the team over the player. Like, I thought that was what are you doing? Like, you let the team handle it however they're going to handle it, but coming out against the player when you are a player, not a good look. And I've always thought, what was he thinking there? But he's got other questions that he'll be facing if he does any interviews anywhere other than Fox News in the near future. The second one was Mike McKenzie, who held out with 3 years left on his deal. Now him, I think even Brett Favre could have justified criticizing. That was incredible. Like, he signed a deal and then he got through Rosenhaus and decided that he shouldn't have signed the first deal. And he managed to force his way out, ended up in New Orleans. So it worked, I guess, for him, but that was preposterous. The other ones, John, I'm a stickler for the English language. When Dorsey Levens didn't report to training camp in 1998 and when Antonio Freeman didn't report to training camp right away in 1999, those were not holdouts. They were franchise-tagged players. And they were not under contract. So that's not a holdout. That is a contract dispute. So those two guys, I always thought, kind of got a little bit of an unfair criticism for that. But in my opinion, those were the two that were most memorable, mainly because of the way people handled them.
You realize, though, right? Nobody, if the player's not there, he's holding out, no matter what they say. It's kind of like when there's a work stoppage. It doesn't matter if you've locked him out. They're just like, oh, the players must be on strike. Right,
don't think that's fair. Yeah, I agree. But that's, again, if Dorsey Levens wants a long-term contract, he has not signed his franchise tag. He is not holding out. Holding out, technically, is you're under contract and you're not there. And so, for instance, right now, Elton Jenkins not taking part in the off-season program. Again, it's not really a holdout because technically, these are voluntary. Now, they're strongly encouraged, but they are voluntary. And they've become more voluntary in recent years because once upon a time, they were voluntary in name only. And guys, if you didn't show up, it was held against you to a ridiculous level. So, again, we will see. We've got a mandatory minicamp coming up in mid-June, and then they go their separate ways for about 6 weeks. So we'll see how many guys that maybe there's some question about right now are actually there when it's mandatory. But for right now, there's certainly some guys out there that feel like
they have some measure of leverage, Elton being the chief among them, that they that they're trying to get, you know, their themselves taken care of.
Have you checked to see if any of those people for mandatory have a like a trip to Egypt planned that may run contrary to the schedule the Packers have laid out?
So I have not, but funny story, which I think I can tell now. I didn't tell it at the time, but Tausch and I were talking about Rodgers last year and the news that he was missing the mandatory minicamp. And what I said on the air was that, and we didn't know where, no one knew where he was. The Jets had not said publicly. He had not spoken out publicly. And I said, look, if you're going to be the guy who says after the you-know-what show from the previous year after he ruptured his Achilles, if you're going to be the guy that says we have to eliminate distractions, we got to be all about ball, and then to not be there for the mandatory minicamp, I'm sorry, but that's hypocritical. And I said, I love that you've been there for the rest of the offseason program, but that you're being a hypocrite because you want no distractions, and then you create one by not being there. Now, I had no idea where he was. So we get done with the show, and I text him because I've always believed, you know, as long as I've been doing radio, and also, but this is from my writer background, like getting into a shouting match with Brett Favre in the locker room in 2005, which I think I told that story with you and Trevor on the Inside Wisconsin podcast. But, like, you got to be there to stand in. If somebody's pissed at you, you got to be able to be there face-to-face with them and let them unload. And what I always say about the radio is I don't want to say anything on the radio that I wouldn't say to their face. And so I criticized them pretty harshly. And so I texted him, and I said, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. You know, I went after you pretty good today. I stand by what I said, but, you know, I've always told you that I'm always going to be up front with you, and if I say something, I want you to know about it. And he called me.
Oh.
And first of all, he said that anything that I say is low resonance, which I said, thanks, I think. and then he said he was in Egypt. They were just having dinner. It was like, you know, I don't know what it was like, 1 o'clock when I heard back from him after the show had ended. But that, so I knew that he was in Egypt, and it was this dream trip, and he was with some friends, and, you know, they were going to go to the pyramids the next day. And so my point is that he made a pretty effective argument. He's like, look, it's only mandatory because those are the two OTA practices they chose to make mandatory. And he was pissed that Saleh had taken this hardline stance, and I'll never forget this, and I'm probably violating the off-the-records part, so Pebble, don't put this on social. But he was like, I told them what to say about it. And I was like, Aaron, maybe that's part of the problem. They don't want you to tell them what to say. And maybe that's why Robert Saleh like kind of put his foot down, right? But my point, and I agreed with him when he made this point, was that it was kind of an arbitrary, okay, well, these two OTA practices we're going to designate as the mandatory minicamp, but they're exactly the same as our OTA practices. So this all could have been avoided with that dysfunctional franchise. And again, I'm not saying he should be criticism-free, but it could have been avoided. Hey, you designate two other practices as the mandatory minicamp, and then when he misses the last 2 days of practice, which are back to being voluntary, it's not a big story, right? So, again, I don't know what will happen when we get to mid-June. Will Jair Alexander still be on the roster? Will Elgton Jenkins no-show because he doesn't have, you know, an adjustment to his contract to guarantee some of the existing money? Will Romeo Doubs be there? Like, these are all questions that I can't answer right now. But
these
are the types of things that in the offseason you wonder. Yeah, no, not on Jair. I mean, I can't believe that we're sitting here on, what is it, the 20th of May? How is, like, and as one person who works in the building said to me, this is why you have to put roster bonuses in contracts, because it forces decisions far earlier. Now, again, if he ends up somehow staying and then stays healthy and plays really well, it will have been an incredibly fortuitous serendipitous turn of events that they could not find a trade partner. Because you know that if anyone had made an offer to Goody that was appealing, he'd have been gone forever ago.
I can't believe they can't find a trade partner for a seventh-round pick. Really?
Because the team doesn't want to take on a $17 million salary, Homer. It's as simple as that. Like, he's not willing to restructure for a new team. If, as we've covered previously, if I'm him, I'm saying, look, I'm not changing my contract. I just want to be released. I want to get a fresh start somewhere else. I know I'm not going to make $17 million no matter where I go. But, you know, that's why I think the Packers are at least a little bit of a sweetener, is that even if he agrees to, and again, I'm just using these numbers arbitrarily. I have not been told this. But, like, he's supposed to count $17 million against the cap. All right, we're going to cut it in half, $8.5 million. We're going to guarantee you $8.5 million for this year. The other $8.5 million is going to be on a game-to-game roster bonus. If you're active, you get 1/17th of $8.5 million. And then if you're active for two games, then you get 2/17ths of it, all the way through the entire season. That is what I would assume is what has been discussed. I don't know that for certain. But if I'm him, you know, I don't necessarily feel great about the chances of being healthy for all 17 games and recouping every penny that they're taking off. So maybe I'd rather just be a free agent, go somewhere else, be able to play where I want. If I'm going to have to pay for less money, play for less money anyway, I'm going to get a fresh start somewhere else. Maybe.
Garth Brooks, sometimes we thank God for unanswered prayers. Maybe he sticks around. Everything works out. So Golden sign, does that leave just Belton is the only guy left unsigned? And he has to sign if he's going to displace Zach Tom, doesn't he?
Yeah, so I don't know what the holdup is. I'm assuming, and again, I have not talked to Belton's agent, but as I mentioned at the start here, there have been some second-round picks that have successfully negotiated fully guaranteed contracts. So I would assume with all the slotting that has come about where there's really not much negotiation over the actual numbers, I'm guessing it's the negotiations are over verbiage in the contract and then how much guaranteed, what percentage of the entire contract is guaranteed. I have to think Belton's agent is trying to get it fully guaranteed. I do know I had a couple people say to me that there's, you know, there are not from the Packers, from outside the Packers, that have said, you know, there through the draft process, there were people that were concerned about this guy staying at a healthy, effective weight.
No kidding.
Now, yeah, I mean, right?
Every
I mean, I understand
day of
that
his life.
Well, I have the same problem. I just am not getting
millions
of dollars.
No, you don't even have anything even close. What's he weigh?
So the he was at 360 last year.
Yeah. When you get to 300, let me know. Then I'll put you in his club.
Well, again, I'm also not 6'6". So no, if I get to 300,
pounds.
It's even worse. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
My point is that that's probably the holdup. But to John's point, he's right. Like, if you're going to proclaim that Zach Tom went from being, in my opinion, a slam dunk to be the first one to get a contract extension to now having to compete to keep his job.
Really?
So
and I want to be on record.
Make of that what
that,
you will.
They just made that up. He will still be the one. They believe he's good. This is whatever they feel like they have to do for so all the offensive linemen feel that they're all treated the same.
Well, but they're not, right? They didn't say that about – and this was my point in my story on Channel 3000. They didn't say it about Elton, and they certainly didn't say it about Aaron Banks, who got a $77 million contract. So you can't say, well, everybody's got to compete across the line because it's just not true. And I don't think Zach Tom is a soft-spoken guy. He doesn't enjoy the media spotlight. I got him one-on-one at Locker Room Cleanout. I used it in my story. We played some of the audio on our show. Like, he's not David Bakhtiari, right? He's not a big personality. But what I also don't think he's complacency guy or lazy guy.
Yeah, he's going
to
get the big contract.
So I don't think he's a guy that needs – right, so then why – I just don't understand this because And I don't think this was a slip of the tongue from Steno. I really like Adam Stenovich. I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he doesn't say things for no reason. So clearly there is some thought in that building, and Luke Butkus did nothing to defuse it, that they think he has to compete. They don't think he played that well last year, even though
they know he was hurt.
You know, even though he played through a torn pec, which is hard to do, right? His strength never returned. Like, he wasn't even though he was able to play, and he didn't miss a game, by the way. But even though he was able to play, there's no way his strength on his right side was strong enough. And that's what that was a key part in my story, was that he basically admitted that he had no confidence in his outside arm. Well, if you're playing right tackle, that's your right arm, and guys are going to get the edge on you. So, you know, again, to suggest that this guy has gone from one of their best offensive linemen to someone who's going to have to stave off a second round pick.
I don't
pick.
Buy it.
I don't like it.
Maybe that injury is lingering. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's an issue there.
I don't buy that either.
I don't buy that either. I mean, again, he had surgery. They had this weird epidemic last year where LaFleur, Zach Tom, and Tucker Kraft all tore their pecs. You know, they all had surgery by the same guy at the special surgery hospital in New York. I doubt that he's having an issue physically. He's there. My understanding is he's there for the off-season program. So, you know, I don't think it's that. I just think I don't know. I do find myself wondering, and I know you guys got to go because you're ridiculously late.
Yep.
I do wonder if the constant conversation about everyone has to compete, I understand the concept. I'm not sure in practice if it builds the best type of locker room camaraderie and chemistry and culture when you're making everyone feel like they're easily replaced. I understand that in theory that would motivate guys, but I think we can all say in our jobs, certainly you with your 1 hour a day, you want to feel appreciated. And if you work, whether you're in any other job or in the NFL, you want your bosses to feel like, to make you feel appreciated. Not say that it's okay to be lazy or complacent, but feel appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I find myself wondering if this approach is counter to that.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Yes, everybody goes to ESPN Wisconsin, the app, so that you can listen again to the Professor John Anderson and Jason Wilde. And I'm sorry, he's not available for the rest of the show, if that's what you're wishing. From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy celebrates with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener on June 27th at the garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. And I just told you about your state, your teams, your ESPN, the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app, used to be Wisconsin On Demand. A customizable home page, easier and quicker, live listening, your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app is available in Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today. And I know John Anderson, 7'2½", has a comment about George Wendt from Cheers, who passed away today at the age of 76. Everybody has a George Wendt story, I believe. Next.